line from the top. We started the Mishnah. We're going to have to start it again because we didn't learn for a week. 2 weeks, I mean. And we just started the Mishnah. Okay. Chesem et Bey is the Mishnah on top. One back. Yeah. Okay. The Mishnah says, in Chayfrin, Kuchen, Ukvar, Bemeid. You're not allowed to build on Chol HaMoed, obviously. Burial niches, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly what each one means. Or kvaras or graves during Chol HaMoed. Now, basically, the way the Gemara learns now, most people learn that in the olden times, they used to prepare graves for people before they needed it. They should be ready. Now, sometimes these kuchim and kvaras were more expensive graves than stama, what we have today, like graves. So we'll see in the Gemara, the question is, do you need them, don't you need them? But basically the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to dig graves or tombs during Chol HaMoed. But you can, mechanech, that means you could add it a little bit, make it smaller. Sometimes they dug a grave, but then the person was too small or too big, so they had to change it. So that you could do because it's not a lot of work. The other way is considered tirchi yaseid, a lot of work, which is not allowed to be done Chol HaMoed. And then it says, ve'eis in the v'rechas v'meid, you can create a washing pond during Chol HaMoed. They used to dig a pond to wash laundry. So it says that is not a lot of work, and therefore, you're allowed to do it Chol HaMoed. Because sometimes you're allowed to wash things Chol HaMoed, and you might need it to do laundry, so therefore, because it's not a lot of work, you could do it Chol HaMoed. Now it says v'adin imameis v'chatzit. You're allowed to build a coffin in a courtyard only if the dead body is there. Because again, they used to build coffins without dead bodies, and then people think, "What are you doing, Chol HaMoed? Building a coffin? There's not even a dead body. You're doing extra work for nothing, Chol HaMoed." So it says, if there's a dead body in the chatzit with you, so then people see that you need it now, so then you're allowed to do it. Rabbi Yehuda Eisid. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to build a coffin on Chol HaMoed. Elam ken yeshi mei nesodim, unless the boards are already there. In other words, the boards are already pre-cut, and the boards are there, so then you're allowed to build a coffin, because it's not a lot of work. But to cut the boards and do all that, you're not allowed.
And what do you do if you have a dead body?
Oh, so we're going to discuss in the Gemara that basically the shail is, is there a dead body available right away that you need this for? So if there's no other place to bury them, for sure you're allowed to. The question is, can you build these types of graves and coffin and everything when you have a different place for the person to be buried? It might not be as nice, but there's a different place where you can bury him. So then the Mishnah is cut if you could again, because it's not really that important. Other times the Mefarshim are writing here, what the Gemara has explained, that sometimes, because it's public need, even if there's no dead body, it's for public need. So if there's not strenuous work, then you're allowed to do it. And that's, we'll see more details in the Gemara. Okay, so now the Gemara asks,
talking about preparing this grave before the person dies?
Yeah. In the olden times, nowadays you don't do it, but in the olden times you used to do it. Now it says you don't dig graves unless the person dies. So the Gemara asks, no, you don't. You're buying a plot. You're not buying. They don't dig a grave yet. It says buying a plot. This is gula to live long.
It's not strenuous work. Even if you buy, you don't buy.
I know. Buying is such a thing.
I told you, if there's a guy that's a shlamazel in a business, so whatever he does, it goes bad, he should open a mortuary. Nobody will die. So the Gemara asks, what?
Right. I was going to say, I see people doing this every day, planning.
Yeah, sure. So Gemara asks, "My kuchen or my kvaris?" The Mishnah said, "You don't dig kuchen or kvaris." The Gemara says, "What is kuchen? What is kvaris? What does it mean?" Amar Rav Yehuda answers like this: kuchen are b'chafira, into a wall of a crypt. In other words, they used to bury what's called catacombs. They would dig a subterranean crypt, and they would make various horizontal ditches to bury a few people there. In other words, they dug into the ground a hole, and then they would dig in the ground like flat places where they could just put in dead bodies. That's what kuchen is. In kvaris, what is a grave? Bebinyan, that's already above ground. So basically the Gemara says kuchen are underground, and kvaris are above ground. Because they used to build above ground burial chambers of stone, and they used to bury people there. That's what they used to do. So Gemara says kuchen are underground and kvaris are above ground. That's basically what the Gemara says. So Gemara says Tanya Nami Hochi, so we talk a learnt in a braisa.
What do you mean above ground exactly?
In caves.
Caves?
Yeah.
The cave is above
ground. Marisa Machpelah was above ground. Now it's below ground, but I mean Marisa Machpelah at that time was above ground. Wasn't underground.
Where in the cave?
Whatever, in the wall of the grave, in the cave. Yeah, they used to dig a place, they used to build. So Tanya Namihochi, so we learned in a Braise. Elein Kuchen, Elein Kvaris. What is the difference between Kuchen and Kvaris? The Gemara says, Kuchen Bechvira. Niches are made by digging in the ground. And Kvaris are buried above ground. So basically, they're plots for the graves for dead people. One is above ground, one is on below ground. That's different, it's not different, because it's cement, and according to many sheets, cement is ground anyway. So the shal is, are you allowed to? But officially not. But you can't say it's... Okay, then it says, mechanchen is a kuchen, you can make them bigger or smaller. So Gemara says, keitzin mechanchen, what do you mean mechanich? Mechanich means, so to speak, to dedicate it. What do you mean dedicating the grave? So Gemara says, Omer Rav Yehuda, shim oya haruch, if the grave was too long, mekatzre, you can make it shorter. If it was too long, if it was too short, you can make it longer. But masnita tana takin ebrais, it says, marachbei or marachbei. You can lengthen it, you can widen it as needed. So basically, the mefarshim add another, the brais adds another leniency. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's long, you can make it shorter. The Braisa says you can do whatever you want to it, bigger, smaller, wider. So basically the difference is like this. To dig a new grave that's not needed, you're not allowed to. To make a grave bigger or smaller, that you would be allowed. Now obviously in today's world, you're allowed to dig a grave Chol HaMoed because people don't prepare it before, and there is no other place to bury the person, and you have to bury it. Not in Yom Tov, I'm saying Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to dig graves today.
Second of Yom Tov.
In Shulchan Aruch it says like this. If somebody dies the first day, you could bury them through a goy. Second day...
If someone dies second of Yom Tov, you're saying? Or
right. In other words, in Halacha, you're supposed to bury a person the same day they die, not supposed to leave him overnight. In Yerushalayim, even today, it's forbidden to leave a dead body overnight. So in Yerushalayim, they make funerals in the middle of the night. If a guy dies in the middle of the night, they just take him straight out to bury. You can't leave a body over in Yerushalayim. Bechlal, it's Leisalin Nevlasei Aleitz, Ki Kavra Tekverena Bayemahu. The Torah says you're supposed to bury a person ASAP. And the Neshama comes to rest that way, and so on and so forth. Now, therefore, it says like this. Because it's such a mitzvah to bury a dead person, ASAP, so if a guy dies on the first day of Yom Tov, you could bury him with a goy. A guy can bury him. Because telling a guy to do malach is rabbinic. Because burying a dead person is so important, you can tell a guy to bury it. For the second day Yom Tov, because it's only rabbinic Yom Tov, second day it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then you can even bury it through a Jew. That's the halach. What? No, Rosh Hashanah is different. Now, nowadays, but then you have to understand, then the halacha was that you bury him through a goy. There was no chilu Shabbos or chilu Yom Tov through a Jew. A goy went and buried it. Even the second day when you're allowed to do it through a Jew, we're only talking about the actual burial of the person. People coming to the funeral by car or outside the tchum, there's no heter. Now, therefore in America today, I think even in Israel today, I believe, I don't know in the front place what they do there. Yeah, but I'm saying they don't bury the first day through a guy either, I don't think, because it ends up being Chilu Yom Tov. Because today you make a funeral, everybody's going to drive and everybody's going to come, and instead of respecting the dead by burying them right away, you're actually desecrating them by being Chilu Shabbos. fact, there's a very famous conversation between the Rebbe Rashab and the Rebbe's father, Reb Levick. Reb Levick was once by the Rebbe Rashab, I think it was Shavuos time. And he asked, Reb Levick asked the Rebbe Rashab, it's an interesting thing because the Baal Shem Tov died the first day Yom Tov. You're going to say that the Baal Shem Tov was buried through a goy? Because that's the halacha. So the Rebbe Rashab basically said, it's the concept that the Maggid said that he buried himself, he didn't need the goy, and whatever. Whatever went on there, but it's not so simple what happened with the Baal Shem Tov. Was he buried the first day, second day, whatever. But that was before America. I don't know what they do on Yom Tov today. I don't know what they do in Yerushalayim. Let's speak about weddings. Soon the next bishop will talk about marrying, getting married. Right, in the Vraches, and then it says you can make a washing pond. Now you're allowed to dig a ditch in a courtyard for water to wash laundry. So the Gemara says, "My nevraches." What is nevraches that the Mishnah says you could do? Amar Rav Yehuda Zubakia. It's a pond. So the Gemara says it can't be because Otanya Nebrais it says hanevraches vabakia. You're telling me nevraches means a bakia. But in the Braise it says Nevraches and Bekia. That means it's two different things. So how can you say Nevraches means a Bekia? Amar Abaye v'yisema Rav Kahane, it means Gia or Barkia. You're right, it means a first pond and a secondary pond. Meaning bigger, smaller, whatever, different types of a larger pond and a smaller pond. But basically it's the same thing. So over here the Gemara is saying, the Mishnah said, you're allowed to dig. And Chol HaMoed, this is not Yom Tov, by the way. Chol HaMoed, you can dig a pond for laundry.
Even though you cannot do laundry?
Well, it says that the point is, even though you're not allowed to do laundry, but the bottom line is, there's certain laundry that you're allowed to do. There's certain laundry that you're allowed to do. Now, he says, he brings down in five on the other page. Though laundry is normally prohibited on Chol HaMoed, in certain instances it's permitted. Like if you need it for public. Some Mefarshim learn that over here we're talking about Nevraches. Tesis over here, if you see the Tesis on the side, on Chesam, the second, third Tesis. Ve'esin Nevraches B'Moed. Tesis asked the question on the Gemara, how did Mishnah say you can make a washing pond on Yom Tov? Tema, my tzarech b'meid, alei ema chapsim b'meid. You're not allowed to do laundry on meid. So how are you allowed to make a washing pond? So Tesis answers two things. Number one, for all those that the Chacham permitted, like kids' clothing, or if you need clothes for Yom Tov that you're allowed to do. V'yesh mefarshim, Tesis says, that it doesn't mean washing pond for clothing. It means to wash the dead body. And then it's tzarech b'meid. But Tesis learns two things. The bottom line, you can make a washing pond. Whether it's for washing clothing that you're allowed to wash in Chol HaMoed, or for dead bodies, so that you're allowed to do it. Okay, then the Gemara says, V'a'odin imames b'chotzen. You can build a coffin if the dead body is in the courtyard. Because otherwise, they just see you building a coffin. They say, what are you building a coffin for? It's non-essential work. So it says, if Rabbi Yehuda says, if you have a dead body in the next to the Arden, so the people see what you're building it for. Tanin olodotan rabbanon. We learned in a braisim, eis in kol tzarchi hames. You could do all the needs of a corpse in Chol HaMoed. If a guy dies, you can gaze and leisar. You can cut his hair. Mechapsin leksus. You can wash his shrouds for him. Eis in leorin. You can make a coffin in Minnesotam and Minnesotam erev yamt from boards that were prepared before Yom Tov. The Pshim and Gamliel Eimer, Af Mevi and Eitzim, you can even bring wood, or Menasin and Betzina B'Seich Vesa, and saw them privately in your house. The Pshim and Gamliel says, for a dead body, even if you didn't, before Yom Tov, you can saw them even on Yom Tov, but privately, not to publicly show that you're doing things in Chol HaMoed. Okay, that ends the dead people. Now goes into the marriage. The Mishnah says, next Mishnah says,
was it by purpose?
I don't know. A nes nim noshim b'meid. You cannot marry women on Yom Tov. The Gemara is Yechol HaMoed. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Number one, Yom Tov for sure you can't. Shabbos or Yom Tov, you can't do a wedding. Why? Besides the Chilul Shabbos, but you can't acquire things on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You can't do acquisitions. Because you might come to right. So it's again a rabbinic prohibition. Not Amish is talking about Chol HaMoed, but I'm saying Yom Tov and Shabbos, B'chlal, you can't get married. Okay? But it's interesting, if a man comes over to a woman though on Shabbos, and does give her a ring, in front of two witnesses, and say, Arayat Mekodeshes Li, it's Mekodeshes. There's a din, in Chai Shemish, in Gemara, it's a Gemara, really. It says in Halacha, if I sell you something on Shabbos, we're not allowed to. Well, we do a business transaction like in all shuls on Shabbos. Nishtim Shabbos. I don't even say Nishtim Shabbos. I sell you something on Shabbos. After Shabbos, one of us change our mind. You say, hey, listen, come on, it was Shabbos. You know, the thing on Shabbos, you know. The din is, the deal's a deal. You did something wrong on Shabbos, but you can't back out of a deal. The deal is a valid deal.
Shabbos doesn't null and void the deal.
Shabbos does not null and void the deal. That's the halacha.
Because it's only exeded, he might come to right.
Yeah, but the deal's a deal. The acquisition was an acquisition. If a man comes over to a woman, he's not allowed to. He can't acquire a woman and give her a ring and say that mekdeshously. But if he does on Shabbos, she needs to get. You can't say, hey, you did something wrong, and therefore, you know. Correct, I'm saying, but if you did, can you back off? No, the Kenyan's a Kenyan. I'm Mishnah Zong Machol HaMoed. And the Mishnah says, a Nesin Noshin B'Moed, you cannot marry women in Chol HaMoed, and the Gemara is going to explain at great length why. Now, 1 minute. 1 minute. Here, the Mefarshim, 1 second, I didn't hear what you said. The Mefarshim say, that this is not talking about Kedushin. Kedushin we'll see later in the Gemara. Here we're talking about the second stage of marriage. Meaning as follows. We learned this during the week a number of times. In the times of the Gemara, there were two steps of marriage. There was Kedushin or Edison, and there was Nisuin. Kedushin or Edison means a man comes over to a woman in front of two witnesses, gives her a ring or money, whatever. Says, she becomes betrothed to him. If they break up, does she need to get? She has a full-fledged din of a married woman. But they cannot live together yet. They're not married. The second stage is Nisuin, which is the chasana that permits him and her to live together as husband and wife.
So
now,
the person just gets engaged. They still need to get the divorce.
No, today's not engagement.
No, it's not.
You're not giving a ring and saying, I'm Mekadeshesli. Right? Talking a guy, in the time of the Gemara, the Mishnah Ksuba says, Nesin l'psula shnei maser chaydush. In the olden times, from the Kedushin until the marriage for a virgin girl, Psula, was 12 months.
Gave her the ring at the beginning?
They gave her a ring at the beginning. 12 months later, they got married. If he didn't marry at the end of 12 months, he was obligated to support her.
Give her a get?
Give a get is the next day you have to give a get. Okay. If he wants to break up. Okay. Uh-huh. No, I'm saying, what happens if he postponed the wedding? Okay. The guy said, I'm not ready yet. Okay. So the din is, once the time comes that you're supposed to be married, all the obligations of a husband to wife as far as support, he has to do it. Now, what's the problem with that system? If you break off the Kedushin, you need a get, and then she can't marry a Kayin, and all the package deals that come along with it. So today, what do? Today, we do both things together. We do Kedushin, and the Suin together. Therefore, under the chuppah, what do? You have the first two brachas, and then the gachasin gives the kalah and aram kadashasli. Then you have the sheva brachas under the chuppah, you know, the last seven brachas when you break the glass, and then they go into yichud. That is the second part, that's called Nisuin. One of the reasons we discussed in the past, why do you read the ksuba under the chuppah? I mean, what? If you think about it, it's a ridiculous thing. A ksuba is a financial IOU of husband to wife. So what are you reading it for? The answer is, you got to make a break between part A and part B. So what do you do with making the break? You read the ksuba as a break. To separate the two stages of the wedding. Now, our Mishnah is talking about Naisim Noshim, we're talking about stage two. The Chuppah. Kedushin, as they say, see below 18b. And page Yud Ches is going to talk about, you know, that aspect of it. But that's not for now.
I have a question.
What?
When there's two witnesses, when the guy asks his girl to marry him, he has to have two witnesses, right, in the old days.
Right.
She says no, what happens then?
Then it's no.
If you do the first half, and then you don't do the second half, you leave it
there. Yeah. The second you give her, the Ariatma could...
Hurry up.
No, it doesn't.
Hurry up.
So if you
be careful today,
it's what?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, anyway.
Nobody's the kind of who start today?
No. The minig today is, minig Shulchan Aruch says, the minig is you do it with Kedushin, I mean with a ring, and the ring should be round, and you know, all the... You cannot come over to a woman against her will and give her a ring in front of two women and say, okay, you're mine. We learned it out, by the way, in Chumash, when Yitzchok and Rivka over there, you know, he made his sales a shidduch pitch, so he said, okay, we'll ask the girl her opinion. From there you see, you can't do it against two women. What?
I'm sorry, so we can write a Kedushin contract in Chol HaMoed.
Yeah, here the Mishnah speak about Einestim, yeah. But no, I'm just explaining that there's two parts to...
And how do they get to break the glass under the chuppah? How does that happen? How do they get that? How do they figure that out?
Where they get that comes from. Yeah. Because you shalim, the base of Migdash is destroyed.
So like, let's move on for 2,000 years.
That's it, man. 2,000 years breaking heads, yeah.
Ksuba is not the Shtar Kedushin?
No. Shtar Kedushin is, you write on a piece of paper, Harei at mekudeshesli b'shtar zu, kedas meisha v'yisrael, and you give it to her, in front of two witnesses. That's mekadesh b'shtar. Ksube is a financial responsibility that a husband has to his wife. Half the things are said in the ksube, some things are not even mentioned in the ksube. Okay? Basic obligation of the ksube is, you have to feed her, clothe her, heal her if she's sick, and if, God forbid, there's a divorce or death, then she gets the 200 zuz, you know, depending what she is. It's not a document
well,
of...
She makes more money than you.
Huh?
She makes more money than you.
And then
she,
you...
And she does or you die?
You mean, could she...
She's going to want your money.
No, the Gemara says in Ksubis that the woman, normally, it's like this. Their responsibility is husband to wife. He has to support her, you know, and she has obligations to him. Cook, bake, sew, you know, all that stuff. What happens if a woman says to the husband, you know what? Do me a favor. Don't support me. Mm-hmm. And I ain't working for you either. You know? I'm not going to sew for you or cook for you. I'm not going to do all these things.
Okay.
So technically she has a right to do it. But the Gemara says you can't let your wife do nothing because then you go crazy.
Mm-hmm. So if she makes
She'll go crazy.
Then she goes crazy, yeah.
If she makes more money than you, that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. You take the money and run.
You pay it with her money.
Okay. What?
Kedushin is also an act of Kinyan, right?
Kinyan, yeah.
So why is it allowed but Nisuin is not allowed?
No. Chol HaMoed, the Gemara is going to learn why. The Gemara asks, why can't you do marriages in Chol HaMoed? The Gemara learns out from Psukim. But the Kinyan aspect is not the problem of marriage. Chol HaMoed, you could do a Kinyan. You could acquire something in Chol HaMoed. Yamdiv, you can't. So Kedushi, you could do Chol HaMoed. But not Nisun. The Gemara is going to say in a minute, if we get there. The Gemara.
Or we don't do it because we don't mix two...
1 minute, that's... the Gemara...
We have no patience.
No patience. Nisun, no.
Because you acquired 12 months earlier.
No, but you can't.
Because you can't make
Simchas. Let's see the Gemara. Let's see the Mishnah. I know everybody's impatient, but you need savlonut.
Maybe that's why
they married at the end. Ain't he can't marry a virgin. Lay amonis, not a widow. You can't even do yibum. Mean that the brother died without children, or the brother has to come and marry the wife. You can't do that either. Why? Because it's a simcha for him. And right now we don't know what it means. The Gemara is going to explain. So why is it forbidden to be happy on Yom Tov? I mean, the Gemara is going to discuss that. Ava machzer as gurushase, but you could remarry the wife you divorced. That means if you divorced your wife and you're not a kohen, you want to remarry her, so then you're allowed to. Because it's not a big simcha, because...
But you couldn't do it.
if she married somebody else, he can't.
That's a mitzvah thing.
It's a mitzvah to be
married. If she marries someone else, she forces him, he can't marry her.
Right. But if a woman didn't marry anybody else, and then you could be, unless if you're a kohen, you can't marry a divorce, even your own.
To examine
the
brain first. If she went to somebody else,
it's a possible.
You may not be.
The Torah says, clear, it's a possible. No. I'm made them sure there's a reason. What?
Yeah, they examine his brain first.
Why he's doing it?
Married the same woman twice.
A bunch of people do it today, you should know.
Is it allowed in Chol HaMoed?
They examine his brain?
Chol HaMoed, yeah. Machzor Grusha, so you can Machzor Grusha.
With examination.
With examination, I don't know. Okay. Then, Ve'eisi Isha Tachshita B'meid. A woman can make her adornments, meaning personal hygiene, grooming, cosmetics, and all that stuff. Rabbi Yehuda Eiser, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. Rabbi Yehuda says, Leisasud, she shouldn't apply lime to her skin, Meneshenivel Hula, because it's disgusting. Meaning like this, they used to put lime on their faces to make the face look red. And then when they took off the lime, it was supposed to officially look better that way. It was like a plastic surgery. I don't know, of some sort with lime. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda says she can't put lime on her face because while the lime's on, she looks disgusting. Mm-hmm. And because she looks disgusting, you can't do it.
It's like the mask they put on
the
skin.
Yeah, whatever. He says, at the bottom he says, since the lime is a disfigurement while it's on her, and therefore causes a distress, she can't do a Chol HaMoed, even though afterwards she gets the improvement. But you still, while you're doing it, you can't. Okay, then it says like this. Now, these are important dinim, by the way. Hedyet teifer kadarke. An unskilled person, an unskilled tailor, can sew in his usual manner. Because it's unskilled, it's cockeyed anyway. It's crooked. It's not done professional. For omen, but a skilled worker, machliv, has to make irregular stitches. And the Gemara is going to explain later on what the reason for all this is. Because he can't do professional work, Chol HaMoed. So if the guy's unskilled, so whatever he does is unprofessional. If a professional guy is doing it, he has to do it crooked that it shouldn't look professional. And again, this is obviously only stuff you must need for Chol HaMoed. Because otherwise you can't do it. And also, misargin as hamitas, the Gemara is going to discuss also what it means. You can interlace supports for beds. And Rabbi Yossi says, mematchin, you can even tighten them. And the Gemara is going to basically talk about it. It's basically a form of a weaving between the beds. It's a question, could you do it or can't you do it?
Is that why we write with a shinoi on the Chol
HaMoed? Right, right. All that it shouldn't be the normal professional way of working. So now the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to discuss why you can't get married on Chol HaMoed. What's wrong with it? So the Gemara asks a question like this. The Mishnah said you can because it's a simcha. So the Gemara says, v'chi simcha ilay mahave. So what if it's a simcha? So you can't do it. I mean, why not? Amar Rav Yudam, and the Gemara is going to learn out from various different psukim now. Amar Rav Yudam eshmo, v'chein amar Rav Elazar, amar Rav Eishia, v'amar amar Rav Elazar, amar Rav Chanina, the various different opinions. V'ishi ma'arvin, ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha. You cannot mix simchas, and later the Gemara is going to learn it out from a pasuk. But basically, the Chachamim say like this: when you do a simcha, be there completely. You're going to start joining different simchas together. You're going to be nowhere. You're not going to have this simcha complete. You're not going to have this simcha complete. If you get married on Yom Tov on Chol HaMoed, so Yom Tov simcha won't be complete, and the simcha with your wife won't be complete. So therefore, you don't mix one simcha with simcha. Rabbi Baravuna Amar, another reason. Because he's going to leave the simcha of Yom Tov, and he's going to be occupied with the simcha of his own wife. Instead of doing the simcha of Yom Tov, he's going to do the simcha of his wife. And that's also no good. 1 minute. No. We'll see in a second. This statement of Rabbi Baravuna is the reason is as follows. Why? From where do we learn out in Chumash? You can't get married in Chol HaMoed. You have to rejoice in your Yom Tov. And it says, not with your wife. Meaning you can't do both things together. Now, the Gemara learns out, like you're asking a good question, what's the difference between the two reasons? The difference is like this. According to the first reason, any simcha you can't do Chol HaMoed. Based on this reason, you can't make a bar mitzvah Chol HaMoed either. According to this reason. Because the Gemara says, Ma'arvin simcha b'simcha is a general rule. You can't mix two simchas. Right? In fact, it's one of the reasons you can't make two weddings at the same time. For instance, a brother and a sister are getting married. So you say, oh, we'll make one wedding, kill two birds, it's half the expense. You can't, because you can't be mad if simcha b'simcha.
For twin kids, twin boys.
They got engaged to twin girls?
No.
Okay, so Taki, you do a separation between them. In fact, there's a custom that if you have twin boys and you make a bris, yeah, it says in Halacha you're supposed to make a separation between bris 1 and bris 2.
What do you do for a separation?
They say a mimer, they speak, whatever. Because you don't mix two simchas together. So according to the first answer of the Gemara, when the Gemara is, why can't you get married Chol HaMoed? And the answer is, hey, marvin simcha b'simcha. It's any simcha. Any two simchas you can't join. But according to the reason...
Is bar mitzvah really a simcha?
Why isn't it a simcha?
It's not a sudas mitzvah, you don't say...
So what? But the Gemara said, b'chagecha v'lei b'ishtecha, is only weddings you can't. But other simchas you could do. That's the difference between the two answers. Okay, then the Gemara says...
Can we follow the second answer?
Oh, we're not done yet. We're not even done. Another reason why you can't get married on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed, Ulam Abnei HaTerech. Because it's too much work. We learned you can't do excessive work in Chol HaMoed. The chassan is going to work too hard getting the wedding ready. You don't work excessively Chol HaMoed. So you do it after Chol HaMoed. If Yitzchak Navcha Amar, if Yitzchak Nav...
You don't cut hair and cut nails.
One second. If Yitzchak Navcha Amar, Nei Bittul Piri Veriva. Because allowing marriages will stop the person from doing Mitzvah Piri Veriva. Why? It sounds like this. This is, Rashi explains like this. If you're going to allow weddings and Chol HaMoed, people will push off weddings to Chol HaMoed. Why? Because a chassan is not allowed to work for 7 days. Right? So it means, if he gets married, he has to take off 7 days then. And then Yom Tov he has to take off 7 days. So if the guy can get married Chol HaMoed, so then he has no problem. He kills two birds with one stone. Huh? What?
So he'll get married because he has to take off, so he takes
something
for him.
Then he doesn't lose work.
This is
the
What's
wrong with
him? What's
to make a living? Or the Mefarshim explained a little thing, not only that. He's not allowed to work then, so he'll be more simcha with it. He can go on a honey to Disneyland better.
So what's wrong? Because you're not allowed to make
six and seven. No, because you're killing the Yom Tov spirit.
So he gets another week off.
This is what
more
the Chachamim instituted. Was there ever a time ever?
No.
They never did.
No, because the Gemara learns out, according to the Pasuk that says, it's biblical.
So this is
the yeah.
From the beginning, never.
Right. Okay, then the Gemara says, Meisei, the Gemara is going to ask a question on all four reasons. The bottom line is, we have four reasons. Number one, Emarvin Simcha B'Simcha, V'Samachta B'Chagach V'Lei B'Ishtacha. The third reason is because of excessive work. The fourth reason is because you're not going to do Piri Aviv, you won't get married a whole year. So the Gemara says, Meisei, I'll ask you a question. Elu Sha'amra Asun Lisa Bameid, about all those people that said, you're not allowed to get married. And Yechol Ameid, but Mutter Lisa Erev Eregel. You can get married Erev Yom Tif. So Gemara said, that's a question in all these opinions. Because if you're talking about Yom Tif and not your wife, or Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, all these things, we're going to play Erev Yom Tif too. Because you're going straight into Yom Tif. It says you can get married Erev Yom Tif in the afternoon and go straight into Yom Tif. But the pearl then, you're not going to be happy with Yishtacha, you're going to push off weddings anyway, Tad of Yom Tif. You're not going to, Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, because the Sheva Brachas, I mean, it's all coming together anyway. So the Gemara says, according to all these reasons, you shouldn't be allowed to get married out of Yom Tov either, and you are. So the Gemara says, like Kasha. The Gemara explains each one as follows. Mandi Amar Mishum Simcha, according to opinion, says you can't get married because Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, Ika Simcha Chad Yemahu. The main Simcha is the wedding day itself. So once you go into Yom Tov, there's no more simcha primarily of the wedding. It's over. Lemandi Amar Mishum Tircha, according to the opinion, says you can't work excessive. Ika Tircha Chad Yemo. The main work is before the wedding. So before the wedding, it's not Yom Tov yet. It's not a problem. Lemandi Amar Mishum Bittel Piri Verivya. And if according to the opinion of, that says because they won't get married a whole year, it says Lechad Yomer Lemashi in the Shnafshi. To gain one day, he's not going to push it off for a year or half a year. What's he going to gain? Is he getting married every Yom Tov anyway? So it's only one day gain. He's not going to deal with it. Okay, and so this is what the Gemara answers, all the answers. So now the Gemara says, Udema'ein marvin simcha b'simcha minolan. From where do we learn that you're not allowed to mix simcha with simcha? Where do we learn that you can't do simcha with simcha? So Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, V'yash lema b'yisi yisachog, Shlomo Melech, when they dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, it was in the month of Tishrei. Shlomo Melech finished the Beis HaMikdash in Tishrei. It says, Shlomo Melech made that time the Chog, V'chol Yisrael Imei Kol Godol, and the whole Jewish congregation was there from Hamas Ad Nachum Mitzrayim Lefnei Hashem Elokeinu, Shivas Yamim, V'Shivas Yamim Arba Asa Yem. It says in the Pasuk, that Shlomo Melech made a Yom Tov 7 days for dedication, and 7 days Yom Tov. He made it 7 and 7. Now, why couldn't he both make both things together? It says Shlomo Melech, when he dedicated the Beis HaMikdash, made 7 days before Yom Tov celebration and 7 days of Yom Tov, which was 14 days. So the Gemara says, why couldn't he do both together? Is a proof that you can't mix Simcha with Simcha.
Was it a proof?
Why did he make it 14 days?
Maybe to party more.
Maybe he wanted to have 14 days.
Why not?
He wanted to have 14 days.
One second. So the Gemara says, V'im isa the marvin simcha b'simcha, if Yodi can make simchas, iboy lemiter alachog, he should have waited until Yom Tov, u'mevit shiv lahochavacha, make 7 days for both. So the Gemara says, no, v'dumma mintale natrinan, maybe he didn't do it because he didn't want to delay the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it was done, right? So then he didn't want to wait. Are you going to push it off? He didn't want to push it off. So the Gemara says, V'hecha disrama, but maybe if they would coincide, Avdina, maybe Shlomo HaMelech would have done it. You still don't have a proof that you can't mix Simcha with Simcha. So the Gemara answers, no, he could have had a way of doing it. He could have left unfinished a little bit of the Beis HaMikdash, waited until Yom Tov, and then done it. So the Gemara says, Shiura Beis HaMikdash Shlema Sherina, but we don't leave over the Beis HaMikdash. It's done. When you wait, keep God's home waiting past the due date. I mean, you don't do that. So Gemara says, yeah, he could have done it in a different place. He boiled a shuri ba'ama kal ya'erev. He could have did, the Gemara says like this, and the base, they didn't want birds camping on top of the Beis HaMikdash. So on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, they put up very sharp, thin blades all over the roof that the crows wouldn't be able to sit on it because they would cut themselves. They did that, push it, that they didn't want Hashem's house to become a bird's nest. So he said, Shlomo Melech could have left that undone. So it's not delaying the Beis HaMikdash, but it's enough to push off the Simcha. So the Gemara says, no, Alma Kaya Erev Tzerech Binyan HaBayisub, it's part of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, why did he do it? So my answer is like this. The fact that the Pasuk says Arba'os, the Torah could have said 14 days. The Torah says 14 days. If the Torah wants to tell us he celebrated 14 days, why doesn't the Torah say, the Pasuk in Malachim say he celebrated 14 days? The fact that he said 7 and 7 shows it's distinctly two separate things. That you can't mix the first 7 with the second 7. What?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting thing. Let me show, that they didn't fast at Yom Kippur. Because if you make a cheshbon, 7 days and 7 days. 7 days before Sukkot is Yom Kippur, is in one of those days.
The tenth day.
No, so that's 5 days before. No, 4 days. Yeah, they were lucky. Okay, stop there already.